Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 72 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my co-patriot, my partner in crime, Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Right. I'm Adam Sildner with my partner in crime. Oh, man. You're a great host.
Wow.
You're really great at what you do.
You were trying to distract me over there on the side. I saw you. I saw you in the camera there with the
I try my best, but rainfall. You are impervious.
Impervious, yes. It's all about the script. So, all right, let's cut to it. Let's talk about
that was
it.
A great show. Great show,
that's
everybody.
It. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. That was episode 72. If you want to support the show.
Yeah,
you can donate to us.
No, we don't need money because I won the lottery. I won that $1 billion.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, thank you for still showing up for this episode.
Yeah. By the way, I've changed my phone numbers and my Skype handle changes now. Click. Actually, quick little update on that for those who may not know. In the US, you know, there is a lottery that's out, and right now nobody won it. It was a little over $1 billion or $1 billion. No one won last night. So now it's 1.6 billion as the time of this recording.
1.6 billion? Has it ever been that high?
No, I think this is the new record.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So nobody won it. So one person I looked at in California, it's like multiple states. It's like whatever, 15, 20 states. So one person in California won, had five numbers, no bonus number. So they won like 3.4 million. Can you imagine being that person? Like, oh, one number off. You were a billionaire, and now you're just a millionaire.
I mean, I'm so disappointed to win $3 million.
Right. All right. So seriously, folks, though, you know, good luck if you're playing. And if you have the money to donate to the show, that'd be great. Thanks. See you next week.
It's been great. Anything else going on in your sphere?
Well, yeah, I think we should just talk about the elephant in the room. It's in the show notes. You want to mention it? And then I'll say, yeah. We had a battle. You know, people know us from our battles, but we had a non-personal battle last Monday night football here in the Niners and the Packers. And the Niners should have won that game.
What? I don't know about that. That was a great game. Oh my goodness. That was worth staying up late past my bedtime.
I stayed up for it. I mean, yeah, it was just we had three opportunities in the fourth quarter. We were not supposed to be even a contender, and we kept you guys, you know, we showed up, we played until we got to the fourth quarter for the most part.
Man, and that backup quarterback the Niners have, he was just like on fire the whole game.
But then, you know, your defense showed up and the fourth quarter.
Only on the last three possessions.
Right, right. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. You know, I trained him well. And that's it. I'm just so sad about that. So my update is I'm sad about the Niners. And right now I'm on the fence about the Dodgers. I mean, I'm a Dodger fan, you know, and it's 3-3. It's tied. Game 7 is tonight, so by the time the show comes out, I might be happily in the World Series, or I might be sadly not in the World Series.
Oh my goodness!
Do you have a baseball team? Like, are you a fan of any team?
Like, well, you know,
Detroit Tigers.
There are years where I follow the Tigers. Yeah, they're the local team.
I remember liking the Tigers, like the hat and the logo, because of Magnum PI. Didn't he have a Tigers cap, like a Tom Selleck when he was in the first Magnum PI?
Pretty sure. Magnum what?
Never mind. You're too young. Sad. That's just sad.
Yeah. Have you updated to Mojave? Oh,
I have not. On the technical question here, no. And I know Dustin is saying, of course you haven't, Adam, because I don't update quickly on many things because I need to make sure that my systems are working. If I update to Mojave, that may cost me time and money because I have certain software packages that may require updates that I don't have current licenses for anymore. So I'm just saying.
I do whatever my computer tells me to do. So when it said update to the newest OS, I just did it.
And then you have to go take your Mac to the Apple store last week. Was that because of that or no?
And that was until then related.
Oh, okay.
So you needed a new battery.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Right, right. Yeah. So I've been trying out dark mode, and I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. It feels pretty jarring to me, but maybe I could get used to it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't even gotten there. I'm still on Sierra. I might have been on High Sierra, dude.
Jeez. Get with the times, old man.
Okay, fine. I was gonna tell you one other thing that's up is I had a work realization. I realized that when I need focused time for some deep thinking, for some actual something work-related for the agency, if you will, but I can't work from home for whatever reason, kids are here, my wife is home, I am best not going to a co-working space. I'm better going to a library, because to me, the library is still the sanctuary of quiet. I'm not going to be having conversations that are sometimes good conversations at co-working. I'm just not going to have them at the library in depth. It's just going to be, it's more of a whisper, and I'll just, the people I co-work with are never at the libraries, for one, you know.
So I like that. So, I spend a lot of time at coffee shops, yeah, libraries,
yeah, see,
and breweries. Yeah. And honestly, I'm most productive at breweries.
Interesting.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just in the best mood while I'm there.
Maybe I could try that. Yeah. So, yeah, I just, that's my realization there. And then lastly, I'm going to mention the weather here in North Carolina as we hit fall. It's changed. Like in the last 10 days, we went from 80 to 45 degrees, you know, back up to, you know, 65. And it's just kind of crazy all around.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, but fall is definitely here. It's awesome. So it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Anything else going on for you?
Not much.
No. Okay. Well, all right then. So,
this is Point and Which We Do. Talk about everything that's new.
All right. So you got one, I got one.
Okay. In the news, we've got a new default WordPress theme coming out. 2019 is in the works, and we've got some previews and an announcement post on the Make blog.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It does look interesting. I have not even – I didn't dive too far into that. I'm really upset about how 2018 came out. Wait, there was no 2018 theme.
There was no 2018.
Yeah. Do you have a least favorite core theme, if you will?
Good question. Yeah, you know, I tried to be supportive, but I never really appreciated 2014 very much.
Totally with you, 100%. 2013 and 14 were just wonky to me. Wait, no, I think 2013 for me was the one. 2013
wasn't that bad.
Which is the one? I'm going to look it up real quick.
I kind of liked 13. It was pretty forward-thinking for its time.
I didn't like 2013. 2014. Was 2014 the one with the black left side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I thought 2013 was worse. I mean, I think the designers probably, you know, I bless them for taking the time to design it. But yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather talk about our favorites instead of our least favorites.
I'm a big fan of 2011. Actually, can I tell you
2010 all the way.
So I have a client. Well, I have a referral that I'm actually referring out because I don't. That's a nonprofit, and they don't. I can't help them based on their budget. They're still running 2011, and the guy's a writer, content creator. He's not a technologist. He's not a. He knows it's old. He knows it needs to be updated, but he. It's just a matter of. So anyway,
it makes my day every time I browse the web and encounter a Kubrick site.
Wow.
That is a highlight.
Yeah, on your dial-up modem.
They're still out there. There's plenty of them.
Yeah. So okay. So that's so if you want, well, there's a link in the show notes. It's over the make.wordpress.org core 2018 introducing 2019 theme. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Check it out.
Cool. I have a gift for you.
Aw, gee.
It's a surprise. You're gonna be, I think you're gonna be surprised.
You always surprise me.
Okay. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Hit me.
So all it says in the show notes is gift for Kyle. And I'm going to say yes. So I've been working on this for like a month, just so you know.
What?
A month. Holy it's moly. Taken a while. Some technical hiccups have happened, but it has happened finally. So have you ever heard of Spotify?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Do you ever use it or listen to it?
Of course.
Yeah. You can
every day.
Now you can now listen to Get Options podcast on Spotify.
Whoa, that's great.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Check it out, dear listeners. Go to Spotify.
Every episode 1 through 71 are on Spotify, and they will be there automatically from now on.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
So there you go.
And I'm sure that's a gift to our listeners.
To the listeners, too. Friend. Yeah, it really is. So
Spotify is a great platform. I use it every day.
Wow.
And aren't they, didn't they go public recently or are they in the process?
They are public, but they are still not profitable.
Oh, okay.
Do you pay for it or do you have just the free level?
Well, they will be now because of Get Options being on the platform. But I've been meaning to pay for it, but I haven't got around to it yet.
My kids really want the paid version, but it's like $15 a month for the family. So I'm thinking maybe as a holiday gift for Hanukkah. Hanukkah would be good. Spotify. I don't know. We'll see. That'd be one of the 8 gifts.
It's very exciting, though.
Yeah, we'll see. If they listen to the show, you know what? Here's the thing. The first kid that listens to the show of my children, Kyle, you can't let them know. Don't text them. Don't call them. comes up to me. it's a strong maybe. Okay. Anyways.
Okay. We've got a few people on the move these days.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a busy season for people changing jobs. Is that right?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, everyone but you and me.
Remember back in like the spring or summer when we had a bunch of episodes and we were like, well, nobody's changing jobs that we know of. Here we are in the fall where we've got multiple changes every single week. And this time we are talking about the company that I work for. Sandhills Development has brought in a couple new people.
Again?
Yeah, the team just keeps getting awesomer.
Wow.
It's great. We hired Tunbosan Ayinla to do full-time development on Affiliate WP. And we also hired Mandy Jones to do content marketing for all of our brands. And she's just been killing it. Right. Both of these fine people have been doing great work on a contract basis for months now. And they joined the team full-time this month.
Very cool.
It's pretty exciting. The team is growing and getting even better.
I think I've actually read Mandy's work, some of those blog posts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the emails. Yeah, so very cool. So very nice. Congratulations to them both and to Sandhills Development.
Yay.
Okay, so wearing, drinking, reading. I'm going first because I said so. I am wearing WordCamp Dayton, the baseball shirt from WordCamp Dayton this year. Finally got, like I said, the weather earlier, it finally got the right temperature so I can wear this. It's a nice shirt, the three-quarter length sleeves, very cool. And not only that, just a shout out to WordCamp Dayton is now doing speaker applications, submissions. It's now open for speaker. It's going to be the first weekend, I believe, of March. So that's cool. Drinking coffee, and I'm wrapping up the book Robin about Robin Williams. It's a 450-page book, so I'm halfway through now. So it should be done by tomorrow, next day, before you even get to chapter two of the drawing. I'm going to guess you're reading the drawing of the three still.
Hey, don't get ahead of yourself. There is something different about my lineup this week.
Okay.
Something special is different this time.
Go ahead.
I'm wearing an Affiliate WP t-shirt.
Nice.
I'm reading the drawing of the three, and this time I'm drinking orange juice and not coffee.
Gotcha. I see what you did there. Yeah. Okay. How's that book working out for you?
It's such a good book, man. I can hardly put it down.
I don't care. Wait, before I do that, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is? I jumped my own cue.
It's time for those Michigan Wolverines to give a beat down to Michigan State today.
Okay, real quick, why is there a Michigan State logo in the background of your room? Isn't that a Michigan State something on the wall behind you?
No, just don't look over there.
Oh, is that a sore subject?
Don't. I forgot I had that there.
That's
Sorry.
Awkward. That is really...
Don't worry about it. Go blue.
Okay. All right. Hey, Kyle.
Go blue.
Besides that, the game today. Yeah, that's right. There you go. Here, we'll just do this. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready, Kyle? Are you ready? Go blue still? You sure? Okay. All right. That's so bad. I'm telling everybody. I'm taking a screenshot of this of your screen right now. Just kidding. Okay, go.
Break. Okay, the first question comes to us from Vaughn Simons. Thank you, Vaughn, for this great question. He says, here's another possible question. Given the huge growth of page builders now, it would be interesting to tackle the question that one can sometimes get. Well, maybe not really a question, more of a comment with a skeptically raised eyebrow of, you're using a page builder? And I've had that both from individual clients who pretty much wouldn't know one end of WordPress from the other, and as part of contract jobs where they do. All right, so Vaughn wants to know how we, you know, what we have to say about this topic, okay, where people who are using page builders are kind of getting
I'm going to pull a little Trevor Noah here from What do you mean by you people? Right off the bat, are you talking to me like my people, my tribe, you people? is it the tribal issue? Is it the fact that, you know, I'm from Southern California? Is it the fact that I've been, you know, okay, I'll stop there.
I mean, what do you mean, you people?
You people, I mean, that right off the bat sets the stage for something very, very a slippery slope of a discussion.
Yeah, it does. That makes me think of more of Tropic Thunder. Did you ever
see that? Yeah. I know. Yeah, okay. That's awesome. All right, yeah. So the other thing I want to say to you, Vaughn, is I can't stand page builders myself either. I mean, never liked them from day one, which we are all still using HTML. Matter of fact, I'd rather we use stone tablets and chisel the information into, you know, stone that we want to share with, you know, our tribe again, once again. Okay, actually, hey, come on. Times change. Get a clue, developer friend of yours and mine and all of ours and clients, whoever you are. And whatever you've heard about them, move on. You know, from, I mean, I've never been a pure hard code. That's not true. I guess since WordPress, I've never done, or I didn't start by doing hard code coding. That's not why I got into WordPress. I got into WordPress to put up a site, quickly, easily maintain it. In my photography business, I pivoted. You know, I used Headway. I use Beaver Builder now. There's Divi. It's a tool. That's all it is. Move on. Get over the, oh my gosh, you use a page builder. So, okay. I'm sorry.
Dude, this
could have been a vague rant up for all I know.
Dude, this is crazy. How embarrassing. I can't believe you admitted to using a page builder, bro. Like, that's like admitting to driving an automatic transmission or using a drip coffee maker or baking brownies from a mix or using Instagram filters on your photos. You must be so ashamed of yourself. Come on. Everyone knows if you want to be able to hold your head up high in society, you have to always do things the harder way.
Right. I mean, do you have a dishwasher at your house, or do you actually have a washing machine? You go out back, right, on the back 40. Stone in the stream with a shirt, right? And you're still making your own soap with what? Lard.
Okay,
Vaughn.
Anyone who gives page builder users crap is just stupid and needs to check themselves. I don't even know where to begin here. Like, lots of stuff. First,
it's only an hour show.
Page builders are getting really good these days. Okay, like there was a time where maybe you know they like these were exciting innovations, but still terrible experience. And now
they were bloated, bad code, etc.
Yeah, but they're not new, and they're getting kind of good. And I actually know elite agencies who are using them on production big budget sites. Like real projects. These are people who are fully capable of developing sites in whatever custom fashion a client could request. And they are making the strategic choice to use page builders. These are people that I have tremendous respect for and know more about WordPress and development than I do. And they're choosing to use page builders. It's not just a few people. It's not just beginners. It is people all the way up and down the...
But it hasn't always been that way. I mean, to interrupt you, it hasn't been that way until probably the last, 2 years. 2 to 3 years ago tops is that transition, that shift to where agencies use it as a core base. They used to use Foundation. They used to use, not Foundation, the other one called...
You mean Bootstrap?
Bootstrap. And there's another one also called... There's a couple of those where they were like these empty shell baseline, you know... pieces that they built on top.
Right. Yeah. And make your custom one from underscores.
Underscores. That's the one. Underscores. Right. So, but then it switched. It switched to now where those same agencies that use underscores or Bootstrap are now using Divi or Beaver Builder and then extending that. Right.
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 Totally.
That's what I do.
Totally.
Yeah. And I've always done that.
Another thing, clients' needs are evolving over time. So what clients come and request from their providers has been changing and constantly evolving year after year. It was unheard of years ago, but now some clients are coming and actually needing page builder like features to be provided to them. This is only tangential from the question that Vaughn asked and just commentary on the broader situation, but you know, in the early days when I was developing websites for clients would come to me and just expect me to handle like totally everything soup to nuts relating to their online presence, like even unrelated things that the clients couldn't pick out as even different, like their email and their company Facebook page or whatever else. But now clients were years later and clients are coming and needing consulting and environments. There were a lot of projects that we would work on for clients where we were providing them with environments in which they can accomplish what they want. Like we would develop a multi-site network for a larger client. And in that network, we would be providing them with tools through which they could spin up new sites, new microsites for marketing campaigns or from other for other departments within their organization, for temporary campaigns. They would want Page Builder-like functionality on this through which their web team could spin up these sites, use their own templates, customize the designs globally, have them applied to different sites on the network, and so on. So we're building broader functionality at a deeper level, and the client is applying, is getting their hands dirty in the website and using those features.
Right.
This is just a different ball game than it was years ago.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, you know, and I think you bring up the good point that every client's different. And the clients don't, I mean, it comes back to the fact that I always go back to the carpenter or the mechanic. You don't ask the mechanic what wrench they use to help service your engine, do you?
Right.
What does it?
No.
I mean, if you do, if you're that person or someone asks you technically, what are you going to use? I mean, I've had this issue a few months ago. And I pushed back. I'm like, these are the tools that we use. The client said, have you heard of this theme? I'm like, yes, I have. Well, I heard it's better. Well, that's great. But we have your design. You've given us a design. It doesn't matter how we build it.
Yeah.
Design is the front end. You know, it's what the site that the customer's going to look like. You paid thousands of dollars for this design. Now you've contracted me. Here's my price to build it. You know, it didn't work out. I pushed back. The client was apologetic to no end, but she felt like she had to say something, which was weird. And long story short for that, not my client. You know, which was fun.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
it's all really about the end result.
It is.
That is what matters, not the tools to get there. And all those examples that I was giving earlier, like in my joke commentary, about like using an automatic transmission or a drip coffee maker or making brownies from a mix or using an Instagram filter. Like if you take a picture with your phone and use a filter and upload it and people like it and it looks good, who cares?
Well, it's funny you say that. So from my past career as a photographer, there was always the battle of shooting JPEG versus shooting... not JPEG. Not raw JPEG. It was the issue of manual versus auto setting. Like, you know, aperture priority versus manual. Like, we pros had to shoot manual. Here's the thing. Case in point, there was the time... Yes, you're old enough. Remember when they were retiring the space shuttle?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is about 6 or 7 years ago. It came out to California. They're going to put it in the museum, in one of the museums in Los Angeles. And I was at a PTA meeting at the school that day. And I was the president of the PTA. It's a short little story here. And I had borrowed a huge lens, one of these big monster lenses, like a 500 millimeter lens. And I brought with me because I knew that this space shuttle was going to be in the back of a Boeing plane and potentially seeable from where we were during the meeting, during our board meeting. And it was. And we all went outside and people took pictures with their phones and the cameras they had. And I had my huge monster camera, you know, and I shot in an automatic mode. I didn't shoot manual. I had seconds to catch that photo. I didn't have time to go find the right setting and figure it all out and the exposure and the lighting. I didn't know what that would be. So I took the picture. I don't care. You're right. I took the photo. It looks great. You know, I photoshopped Iron Man next to it at one point for my kids. You know, no one's the wiser, but you're right. It's a matter of, you know, but I do believe the secondary piece of this is this. Learning to drive a stick shift car is super important. Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't disagree.
I want my daughter. I think my daughter's first car, my goal is to get her a stick shift.
Yeah. That is something I think we can agree on. But I don't think the value of these other skills is in question. It's like you shouldn't be shamed for driving an automatic versus a manual.
Right. There's no reason. No, none at all.
Yeah.
Let's not wrap this up. Let's just mention what some other people said in the follow-up to this on the Slack channel. And I'm going to read this first one. Okay. So there's a reason. So Sally Gradle commented, she said, I was resistant to page builders being a do-it-myself kind of gal. Then I saw that it made it easier on the site owners for sites I was turning over and sped up the process a lot. Like anything else, they're not for everyone or every situation. I don't use them on all the sites that I build. And Sally was just on your other show. She was on WP Roundtable. And she is, you know, a self-trained, a self-taught developer.
Right.
Right? I listened to that show. Yeah.
That was actually Sally Getch.
Oh, you're right. Different person. But so, close right. enough.
Sorry, Sally. I'm sorry, Sally.
Both Sallys. Both I apologize. Sally. But nonetheless, they're both great people.
Yes.
That's totally awkward. Are. Now I just feel like, well, whoops, wrong person. Anyway, it's okay.
Actually, Sally Gradle will be on an upcoming episode.
See, look at that. I'm ahead of my time.
You are.
Always have been. Okay, you want to read the one from Todd?
Todd also had some follow-up commentary. This question that Vaughn dropped into Slack that we could use on our show sparked a good discussion.
Yeah.
So Todd Jones said, if you are solving a problem, it shouldn't matter what you use. Anyone that is going to be in this industry these days will probably need to be familiar with multiple page builders, especially if they are working on sites that other people built, which is a good point. It's something good to consider that the tools you use, well, sure, you can pick any tool you use, but you have to be aware of the fact that it isn't always just you.
Right, right. I mean, and I mean, I've also gotten referral work and client work from with sites that I didn't build to go in and look at them. And if it's a theme I'm not really comfortable with or I don't like there's one of the early page builders, you know, VC, Visual Composer, right?
Right.
I guess it's gotten better. I've heard it's better. I did not like it at all in its early iterations because it's really slow and really confusing. Just was a terrible user experience, but it came with a ton of themes, you know, as a add-on, pre-install type of thing, right? From
right,
whatever. So doesn't matter. Yep. So I just had this terrible experience with it. So people say, "Hey, can you work on this for me?" I'm like, "Hey, no." it was so frustrating to me, you know, and slow at the time. But I've heard it's been, I think it's been recoded. I think it might be better. I don't know, but I choose not to know it and use it because there's 2,500 different themes out there. You can't know them all. Anyway.
To people, sorry.
No, go ahead.
To people concerned about this shaming issue, I always want to mention that there's virtually no depth into a tech stack you can go and not have someone still looking down on you.
True.
If someone is looking down on you because they use child themes instead of a page builder, well, other people look down on them for not writing custom themes. And if someone is writing WordPress themes to begin with, someone else is looking down on them for using WordPress.
Right.
And not their own CMS. And if someone's writing a CMS that, like in PHP, there's someone else looking down on them for using PHP.
Right. Versus Laravel.
So on. Laravel is PHP.
Yes, you're right. Actually, I was going to say this. So literally, there's an article I saw my friend Jamie sent me. He's frustrated with WordPress, but there's an agency, a big agency that's been using Drupal for years. They're actually they're moving off of Drupal. I'm not sure what they're going to. The article didn't state, but they are so frustrated with Drupal because of the limitations and because of the way it's been rolling out for so slow. But yeah, there's always going to be something that you're not happy with and someone who thinks you're ridiculous for using that technology. And for even changing your choices, you know? I mean, anyway. So should we read the last one here from Ginger?
Oh, yeah. Ginger had a follow-up.
So Ginger had a follow-up as well. So Ginger Coolidge writes, I suspect it's not an issue until a different person has to work on the site that hasn't used XYZ page builder and would be more to that person and not the end user. So it may never come up at all. However, what we described is why I do not use them. So Ginger does not use them at all. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Do I have time for some tangential commentary on like people using page builders?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll try and be quick. It just made me think about this, but it's not exactly Vaughn's question. What I would say, and I think we've talked about this before, is those who rely very heavily on page builders for everything they do professionally, you might want to look into deepening your knowledge and experience in some other areas because. You know, if you are leveraging a specific tool only, and it is something you're able to learn fairly quickly, you may be vulnerable. Workers relying on quickly learned skills and a small number of tools are the most vulnerable to disruptions. And these are the concerns that I have for the many people that I know using are heavily relying on page builders as their exclusive tool set. So what I think is good to ask yourself is, if this tool I am using were not available, could I still meet my client's needs? A good answer is yes, I still could. It would just be a little harder or slower. A bad answer is no, I'm not sure what I would even do. If that's your answer to the question, could I still get the project done? You should probably be responsible and maybe broaden your scope of tools Maybe experiment with other alternatives. Maybe experiment with deepening your skill set for understanding the technology itself, so that, you know, in a pinch, you could write CSS to get the job done. That sort of thing.
Right.
It doesn't take years of college and courses to become functionally proficient in these technologies. And it's not unheard of for these kinds of tools to become unavailable. So just imagine if that happened.
Right.
What if it stopped working? What if it changed drastically within a
update? It's not what if, it's when.
It essentially is. When's this product going to get acquired? Mm-hmm. When's it going to get shut down? When is it going to change to a point where it's unrecognizable? Or imagine, and I know this sounds crazy, what if WordPress itself did something like develop a new editor, which overlaps a bit with your preferred tool, and now everything you do is different? Just imagine what if that happened.
Mm, that's crazy talk.
All right.
And that's a great segue into the next question, which is this. This came in from an anonymous question from one of the pieces of paper you put down at WordCamp Jackson this year. The question is, you asked the question, is there a question you're afraid to ask? The person wrote in, how big of a Charlie Foxtrot is Gutenberg going to be? And for this is kind of quick, without getting too detailed, Charlie Foxtrot is vernacular slang for some bad words. The first word is cluster. I'll leave the rest up to your imagination. Okay. It's kind of like FUBAR back from the movie. Do you remember the movie that FUBAR was referencing? Like from the, yeah. Probably, yeah. What movie? What are you thinking?
It was Saving Private Ryan.
Oh man. No. Well, yes, it was probably in that too, but it was way earlier. There was a movie called it was a helicopter movie with Roy Schneider. I'll think of the movie in a minute and I'll put it in the show notes.
A helicopter movie.
Hold on a second. So do you have any thoughts here while I'm looking up this movie?
Yeah. How big? I don't know the proper measurements to use, Anonymous. Do you measure CFs, Charlie Foxtrots, in pounds or miles or centimeters or decibels or gallons? In terms of how big, I would say somewhere between 47 seconds and 1.21 gigawatts.
Oh, wow. Okay. By the way, the movie was Blue Thunder. Okay. So how many pounds did you think it was?
I think it was going to be somewhere between 47 seconds and 1.21 gigawatts.
Oh, seconds and gigawatts. Okay, interesting. All right. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be any of a Charlie Foxtrot issue. I think it's going to be the easiest migration of the world of open source. Mark my words.
Wow, great. I'm
easy peasy. Yeah. Mac and
you
cheesy.
Heard it here.
Yeah, you know, I actually just had a similar conversation with our friend Greg Franklin from ServerPress Desktop Server. I'm building sites currently still for clients without considering Gutenberg. And I guess I'm okay because, I mean, I'm using Beaver Builder. So we'll see what Beaver Builder does with its block integrations. Again, does it matter to the client? The current clients, no, because it's still not part of core. So I didn't take it into consideration. They don't care what I'm using, how I'm using it. They want the ease of use from the back end to add content and the front end to look the way we've designed it, right? So... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's two bars of gold worth of Charlie Foxtrot, if you need an actual answer.
All right. I mostly agree with you. I won't say that I have no concerns, but I don't have many concerns about what I think this anonymous person is referring to. I don't think there will be rioting in the streets. I don't think it will be a disaster when it rolls out to users. I don't think sites will be crashing by the thousands. And I don't think that it will spark a wave of migrations away from WordPress. I don't think that will be a big deal. There may be a bump. There may be some growing pains or whatever. But in terms of like the user facing side, no concerns from me. It'll be fine. Hmm. And we'll laugh about it later.
Okay.
I do have other concerns. And these are small. And granted, I'm not extremely involved. I'm kind of just an onlooker. So you have to take my words with a grain of salt. But I have some concerns about a couple things. One, I am concerned about community contributions to the project decreasing over time. And this because WordPress has been a great community project for so long, with so many people volunteering their time to make the project better. For years, that's how it was built. But now it's a little bit different. Now there are for-profit companies employing people to work on the platform, and one in particular really dominating, very much in control, and that's Automattic. Now, not saying this is a bad thing, but it does change the dynamic of the development of the project quite a lot. Automattic now has teams of people working on the project, and the vast majority of people in control with any like authority on the project are employed by Automattic. And that number is increasing. Like, do you remember Five for the Future?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, that was a different time. I don't think it's any coincidence that Matt Mullenweg made his Five for the Future call out in 2014, when at the time he made that, his company size was about 275 people, Automattic. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a lot smaller. Today, Automattic is 717 employees by the last reference I found.
I think it's closer to 800 actually now.
It very well could be. Okay. It's over 700
okay.
for sure.
Okay.
That's a huge increase. And what we've seen in the past couple of years is Matt pushing for specific initiatives. And instead of really pushing for the community at large to step up and assist with these, he's been able to, more than he ever was before, just put people on his payroll to the task, which is so much easier. It's hard to fault him for doing this. Like, if you want something to happen in this project, mm-hmm. it is way more likely to actually happen if you just pluck people that you are already paying and tell them to do it, as opposed to trying to rally this broad community
right.
and get volunteers to push the initiative. That is crazy hard to do. So the easy way is just take people on your payroll and do it. But that has very much changed, as I said, the dynamic of the project's development. Now it's largely automaticians running it. And I have concerns about this being, you know, in the short term, a gain for the project, you know, the development cycle going faster and getting some great people in the mix who are committed. But in the long term, I worry about him being to the detriment of like the community's involvement and being a bit of a turnoff for people solo wanting to volunteer their time.
Right. Oh, yeah. 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 It's true, though. I mean, the company has tripled in essence, just about.
Yeah. And we don't hear them talking so much about Five for the Future anymore.
Yeah.
As back when maybe it was needed more.
Mm-hmm. I consider this podcast Five for the Future.
I also, one other little concern. I am worried that developing for WordPress will become more difficult, also to the detriment of the platform. Now, a lot of us got into development through WordPress because it was actually kind of easy. WordPress is like a gateway to learning development. That was the case for me and for a bunch of other people in our space.
Right.
It was very welcoming and developer friendly, almost to a fault. If you wanted to extend it, it was like dumb easy. It's not quite so anymore. The platform has grown and it becomes so much more sophisticated, and it's been necessary for it to become a little bit more complicated, for it to be able to scale and serve the complex needs of 2018 and beyond. It's trickier now.
It
so
is.
Like adding a custom block to Gutenberg is like so much more difficult than, for example, adding a short code in the old way.
Right.
Like, they're almost incomparable in terms of complexity.
So what you're saying,
the barrier to entry for beginner developers is considerably higher. It might not be this warm and welcoming gateway that it used to be, and that could be problematic.
You know, and so, and then you're also then alluding to the fact that you miss creating this type of code and content for clients. Just kidding.
Not for a minute.
No, I know. Okay. I always like to bring that up for you. Okay. All right. Well, I think we kind of answered, gave some opinion on that question about the Charlie Foxtrot. But
we kind of did.
If you have thoughts and you want to share them, by all means, send in a recording. Well, we'd love to play your thoughts on this as well. So if you're dear,
that's
dear
totally true.
Yeah,
we don't mention that enough. If you really do have strong opinions on questions that we're answering, your input is welcome. We'll share it.
Right,
I promise.
Okay, so now we're gonna go to a segment which we have a new sound effect for, which I want to just call out to. Here we go.
It's time for deletable history.
Yeah, that's right. This is where we share something. You like that little bass line there I came up with? Did that on my harmonica.
I love it.
Thanks. So this is where we share something we've done in the past, and which we wish we could delete. And I dug deep for this one for you. It popped in my head. I'm like, I wonder if it's out there, and it is, sadly but true. You want me to share what it is first, and then you can describe what you see, or how do you want to go about this one?
Okay. How about I describe what I see?
Okay. I'll tell you what it was. Afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're gonna hit. How do you want to do this? You're gonna play it again for yourself, or
you can. Yeah, we'll play it at the same time so I can watch.
Okay. Well, actually, I think I can probably share my screen for this kind of section. Well, we could do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, hold on. Let me hit pause on this. I'll do that real quick. All right. So let me do this. This is great podcasting content right here. So good. I need to hit the plus. Oh no, that's not it. It's up here, right?
Share my screen under the plus.
Nope, not there. That's if I add somebody. I'll take this piece out.
That's okay. No, where is it? It's in Skype.
Hold call. Start recording. Got it. Found it.
Okay. You're right. It's not there. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Here we go.
All right,
play.
So here we are, and I'm going to hit play so you can watch this, and I think you might be able to hear it. Unmute it, and okay, go.
Okay, I see a guy shooting guns in a bar, knocking over tables. A lady shooting two, dressed in leather. People shooting guns, lasers. A guy falling to the floor. More lasers. Oh, and a guy putting his hands to his face with a Hard Rock t-shirt, falling backwards as though he's been shot in the face. And then more guys knocking tables. Oh, and then the other guy with his feet in the air, white shoes on the floor.
Okay.
And okay, so next
okay.
scene.
Okay, so next scene. So... what you saw, and I'm going to go back real quick here. It's on the link in the show notes. It'll be at the 26-27 time code mark, because this is quote a highlight reel or low light reel of the movie called Cybernator from 1991.
Cybernator.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It went right to video.
That sounds like a 1991.
Yeah. It went right to video, and at the 27 second mark of this clip, because it's just a whole bunch of clips pushed together called Cybernator in under 3 minutes. It's not the whole movie. It's me wearing that Hard Rock shirt. You can see a red splotch on the shirt because I got shot once in the chest apparently, and then once in the face. The kicker here is this. So I was so scared to have a squib under against my skin, or just like to be shot with having to get someone point even a set gun, right? That they put so the squibs stopped working anyways. Their technical issues were an issue. They gave me a blood packet, opened it in my hands. I had it in my hands, and I had to literally time it, hit my face, and fall backwards like I was shot in the face. This was a full production movie, 1998, straight to video. So obviously a B movie, if you will, right?
Oh my gosh.
Pretty cheesy.
It's so great. Yeah, your acting is just tremendous.
I was 21 years old. I was actually cast for this part. In exchange for being part of the crew as well. So it was like you do two things. People got parts. People got you had to work in the crew. So I was in charge of all the extras. And I think I also ran the boom camera, the boom microphone for like a day. We shot this thing in 3 weeks, you know, tops. Ironically enough, I met a girl on the show. Excuse me. And I shouldn't even say. So we dated for a bit, for like a hot second. I went to prom with her. Yeah, it was weird. It was a whole separate story on that. So, and I was 20. I was 20, I guess, at the time when this came out. Maybe 21.
Pretty stylish. Your 20. Acting is just, people should watch the clip just to see your really exaggerated movements, like hands to the face, falling backwards, just dramatically, and hitting the ground, legs going all the way up in the air.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. I thought okay. So I'll put, you know, you can see the whole movie, by the way. If you have Amazon Prime, you can see the whole movie. It's
some of the people are shooting lasers.
Well, because like, yeah, I mean, so yeah, if you see the scene here, there's just, it's all special effects that they put in after the fact. You know, it was just a bad movie. Just terrible. It's deletable history. That's what they call it, deletable history. So, okay. All right.
Okay.
So now we're going to go and I'm going to play yours. Same thing. And I'll explain what I'm seeing here. I put the link over here. Let me grab this real quick. Okay. This is also on YouTube. We'll link to these in the show notes, of course.
Have you been hurt?
Okay. Let me start over real quick. I'm going to hit pause. So this is, I'm going to explain what I see here. And as it kind of, I'll voice over the voice track as well a little bit. So we fade in, we see a character, okay, in front of a bookcase of books, wearing glasses, suit and stuff, and that's obviously, it's Kyle. So and we'll hit play now and you'll follow along.
Have you been hurt by words? Has anyone ever said anything to you that offended you on a personal level? Well, according to the Americans Who Are Sensitive to Offensive Remarks Act, you may be entitled to compensation from anyone who has said something to you that hurt your feelings.
Kyle talking.
I'm Kurt Bivens.
Oh, it's Kurt Bivens.
I specialize in verbal offense law. Just listen to these testimonials.
Before we get to the testimonials, Kurt Bivens has a small goatee, has red Sally Jesse Raphael glasses on. Okay. So there's that. Suit, tie, jacket, tie, shirt. Okay. And then we cut to
my employer asked me if I knew what I was doing. Great offense to
this person's on a couch in the living room.
He got $10,000.
I was conversing with someone.
It's your sister.
They recommended I go to the local gym. I was offended. How am I supposed to take that? I called Kurt Bivens. He got me $15,000.
If you or anyone you know has been hurt by the insensitive remarks of another, call me. I'll help you get the money.
Oh, and on the bottom of the screen right now is the 1-800 call Kurt in a big white font text. Okay. So it's obviously a spoof lawyer commercial, like Larry Parker commercials.
It was Larry Parker.
I think it's Larry Parker. Yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
He got me $2 million. Yeah.
Right. No, right.
You know, James Jacoby Meyer, something like one of those commercials from the 80s and 90s. So yeah, it's quite the piece. It's quite the piece. I love the red glasses. I think the red glasses are my favorite thing. That and the subtle mood lighting across the board.
I don't remember that much about us making this, but like, we made a lot of movies when we were growing up. And
I think this has so much potential. This is in your old house, isn't it? When you just sold?
This is back at my family's house.
Family's house. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love is that Maggie?
No, that's my sister Emily.
Emily. Oh, she looks like the guys all look the same.
But, jeez, rude.
Sue me, yeah. But I love her line. I think she has the best best scripted piece, period. You know, just the that was pretty funny. So yeah, I can see how you might want this to be deletable.
It was fun. I miss those times, but I don't know. You know, my on screen presence was not what it could be.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, I think we should wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have. questions@getoptionspodcast.com, or use the SpeakPipe functionality feature on that website of ours, getoptionspodcast.com. You can also find us online, Twitter, @get_options. Kyle's over at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. And hey, Kyle, what are those last two things there?
You can check us out on SoundCloud @get_options. You can go to our website, getoptionspodcast.com. We're on Spotify.
Woohoo!
Look for Get Options. You can definitely not go to our website and watch the videos that we reference in Deletable History. Spare yourself. Don't go there. Oh, please don't.
Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
And hey, if you're still listening, Dustin, yeah, my notifications were off. Haha.